Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to them, the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. And again, welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. Goodness. I need glasses here. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that your word brings life to us. Your word is living. Your word fills us. It empowers us. It sets us free because your word is true. And your word, from the beginning, it will be with no ending. Speak to us today. Uplift our spirit and our hearts. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week, for those of you who are not here, we talked about, it sounds like a series that's going on. And I would say about encountering God. We talked about David in Psalm 63. Oh God, my soul longs after you. And so we talked about David's experience in the desert, in exile. And he remembers all the joy and the experience, the luxury that he has with God. And now he's in a dry land, in exile, in running in fear of his life. And then he writes this incredible psalm to express the longing of his heart in Psalms chapter 3, 63. And it describes that his fulfillment comes from being with God. He said, my soul longs for you as someone who's thirst for water and food. He said, only you can satisfy me. He even said, as we read last week, that even at night on my bed, I think of you. And it's talk about David and his experience in encountering God. It literally changed and shaped his life. And now as he's running away in exile from in fear of his life, that Absalom, his own son, was after him. He thinks about his time with God in the temple. He said, I have seen you. I have seen your glory. I have experienced your power. But my soul longs after you in a dry and thirsty land. So that was last week. And it speaks to us that the fulfillment, that the safety of David is found in his intimacy and his relationship with God. That in his presence, he knows who he is. And because he knows who he is, he knows who he is as a model man. He says, my God. Yeah, first he says, oh God, speaking of God, Yahweh. And then he said, my God. He speaks of a relationship that he's well aware of his covenant and his relationship with the Creator. And then here we have another picture. The picture we see here is Moses. And I like reading this because as I read this scripture, I see that it's God's word for me. And I take it personally as mine. And I believe every year we ask God, Lord, what are you saying to me? So I would ask us, what is God saying to you this year? What is his word for you? We'll go ahead and look at what we can learn from the life of Moses and the encounter he has. Last week we talked about somebody who already had that experience with God. And today we are reading about Moses' encounter with God. And it seems to me that this was his first encounter. Of course, he was looking after the sheep that doesn't even belong to him. We know the story that he was a refugee. Of course, God saved him through the royal family. He grew up there. He's aware of the gods of Egypt. He knows the power that exists within that world. And then he becomes familiar that these oppressed people that have been oppressed, he had identity with them. So he killed someone because he was, we know the story, was beating up a Jewish guy. And then he slain an Egyptian soldier. And then he ran in the wilderness. He met up with Jethro and his family. So for 40 years, he's been there in the wilderness. You see, sometimes we have to convince our hearts is that God knows our journey. He knows the journey of Moses. And I you know, he was 80 years old. He was 80 years old when God called him to go deliver there. So, you know, nothing is too late for God to use us, you know. So, and here he was, tending the sheep. He probably have forgotten Egypt. And then suddenly there was fire. He came close. And then he encountered this supernatural encounter again after a long time. But he heard a voice. See, he's not, David is, Moses is familiar with supernatural stuff because he comes from the land of Egypt. He was in the royal family. He knows all the stuff that have been exercised there. And he heard this voice. Moses, he responded, I'm here. He saw the glory. He fell on his face. He was afraid because, you know, this is not man. and that they began this collaboration. Yeah, Moses didn't just go, wow, I found you. I've been looking for you. There is a long process in Moses' relationship with God begins with his encounter. He is not familiar with his God. And then we read about the commission. So Moses is standing there, and God is speaking to this man. And I wonder what was going on in Moses' mind. You know, the other day I was watching the movie Invictus. Because this passage reminds me of it. What happened in Invictus was during the presidency of Nelson Mandela. When he came into power, there was chaos going on. And we know how God used this man to bring the nation in the brink of disaster to come together. And then one thing happened, that he uses the sports rugby as one of the tool to bring the nation together. It's amazing, yeah? How strategic this man is and his thinking. Everything is about reconciliation. His vision is about the unity of the nation. And then he realized that there is one area here that belongs to the Afrikaners. They love their rugby. They love their sports. And if they try to change that, they might lose a lot of people. So during that time, South Africa was going to host the World Cup, Rugby World Cup in 1995. And then there was a lot of, South Africa's rugby team was not doing well. So they've been kicked all around by the other teams. And one day, the captain was sitting there in his living room together with his parents and the servant and African lady and his girlfriend. And they were listening to the news. And there was Nelson Mandela on the TV. And the dad was making some funny comments about Nelson Mandela or these terrorists and stuff, the way which they call him. And suddenly the phone rings. Here they are watching the nation transform. The phone ring. So the captain took the phone, responded to the call, and then he came back to the living room shocked. There was his face, his countenance just changed. And then the parents said, who's that? Who was that? He said, it's the president. You mean the president of the South African rugby team? What does he want? And the captain said, it's the president. And he's pointing at Nelson Mandela, the one in power. And there was silence. What does he want? Said, I don't know, he wants to talk to me. He wants to have tea. He invited me for tea. So he went and have tea with the most powerful man in South Africa. And then came back, they asked, what does he want? He said, he wants us to win the World Cup. And they did that year. Sometimes our phone rings and we don't know who's calling. Moses has this encounter. Many times, we as believers, I was like this. I go to church most of my life without encountering my God. And the day that when that happened, I realized who he was and who I am. There is something powerful when we recognize who we belong to. this commissioning is an amazing story. Moses began to respond to God, and they started this dialogue. This process, these relationships was building. It's amazing. If you read the beginning of this all the way to 33, you realize that Moses is becoming closer and closer and familiar with this being that he's communicating with. It didn't just happen the day, oh, I know the fullness of who you are. There has been this collaboration, spending and communion together and time together. At the very end of the story, we see that Moses, he said that this is the most humble man, that God been commending this particular individual, that Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. Miriam and Aaron, they were jealous of Moses because of his relationship. And then suddenly, boom, God responded right away. They were talking about Moses. That's how close and intimate this man has become with God. The favor was upon him. This was the beginning. It has to begin somewhere. And he came on this encounter. That was his encounter. Amazing. I like this verse because every time when Moses asked God, who are you? What do you want me to say to those people if they question me? Yeah? What will I say about you? You know God's response? He gave him his name. Yeah? He said, oh, I will do this, I will do this. He gave him, tell them who I am. When God says, show me who you are, God says, gave him his name. His name is not just a title. A name explains who this being is to us. For Moses to recognize that his name represents power, his name represents creation, his name represents the beginning and the end, that his name represents who he is, and he's dialing the phone and calling us, would you partner with me in my purpose to see redemption on mankind? He said, tell them that I am who I am. I am the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them that's me, that I'm coming to deliver them. Moses. I am. Maybe this year we need to be reminded of the I am. Maybe this year, we as a church, we as individual, need to remind ourselves again that he can do it. That he brought you this far, and he can accomplish what he promised he will. Jesus, became the representative of God so that we, through his death and his resurrection, that we can have that encounter. That encounter with God is made possible through what Jesus did on the cross. Let me just read a few scriptures before we finish today. My goodness. The Gospel of John. We saw the demonstration and how John described Jesus. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Paul was saying that I may know the power of Christ. There's something about wanting. Moses was curious of the burning bush. He didn't run away, but he moved towards the burning bush. He took a step forward to find out in there. He has no idea what was going on. Sometimes there is a call for us to draw closer to God, that we are only as close to God as we choose to. That this year, if there is anything that we would like, that our life will be revitalized again, our passion of knowing God, to know who is this person, to see what God is doing. The fire means the work of God and His presence. That we come closer and find out, what is God doing? What fire is burning around me that I can draw close and be part of what God is doing, and see and hear what God is saying to us? Galatians says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. This year is a call for us to draw near. To draw near to God and draw near to each other. Soon we're going to hear from Curry and Pius. They're going to talk a little bit about growth group. But I want to encourage us that we look at where the fire is burning, where there are bush, that the fire of God, that what He's doing, His presence, and be part of it, and find what God is saying to you, what He's calling you for today. I like this story. I will end this. The favor of God was with, we're going to finish next week. The favor of God was with Moses. And everyone who speak against Moses, you see, he didn't have to open his mouth to defend himself. God came on his behalf. I told you the story of Aaron and Miriam. They said this: does God only spoken to Moses and not us? And he says that God heard what they say. He came down in the tent of meeting, and he said to Moses, call Miriam and Aaron. You know, I was picturing this story, and I started laughing. It must be, you don't want to be in this situation. So here they are, Moses, the humble man on the earth, standing there, and the cloud came down on the tent of meeting, and then Miriam and Aaron, they were standing outside, and they heard the voice of God says, Miriam, Aaron, and they stepped forward. And then God began His rebuke. He says, I've revealed myself in vision and dreams to many of my prophets, but no one has seen my face like Moses, my servant. How dare you two speak against him? That's a sign of favor. It's amazing. He said, how dare you two start talking about my servant? You know? And then he says that the cloud departed. And then suddenly, Miriam was left with leprosy. And Moses had to kneel before God and ask for his mercy on behalf of his brother and his sister. We'll continue next week. But the whole idea here is this, that Moses responded, he encountered God. He responded, he said yes. He didn't just walk blindly. He began to dialogue with the Almighty God. But God, what do I say? Say I am. But what if they, but that amazing collaboration and partnership and relationship that Moses has with God from there until he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt is amazing. Encountering God. Look for the burning bush. The burning bush is right there. We don't need to look far. God has given us his Holy Spirit. The communion with him, fellowship with him, spirit to spirit, loving one another, understanding what he's calling in our lives. So my encouragement today, as the word has encouraged us, encounter God. Respond. Find him. Spend time with him. Wherever you are in your walk, in your faith in Christ. And I believe it is a paradox for us to know God and yet to know him even better. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing word for us. Help us to remember what you are doing, that you are working all around us, moving, doing things. We pray that we will respond to your voice. Help us to be familiar with your voice, your urging, your purging in our lives, in our hearts, your direction, your conviction. And that comes from us spending time with you. And I pray for that passion, that dedication in the midst of our business, that we will find time. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand together. We're going to say together the affirmation of faith.